Numbers 32. Thought the Lord gave me a couple of weeks ago. I pray to be a help to you tonight. Numbers 32. Look at verse 11. Numbers 32, verse 11. Anybody got it? First word, surely. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. You know, the Lord, through the man of God, sent out those 12 spies to see the land. 10 of them come back with an evil report. 2 of them come back with a good report. The people sided with the 10 over the 2. The 2 being Caleb and Joshua. And the Bible said that because of that, none of them, from 20 years old and upward shall see the land. The Bible said, why? At the end of that verse, because they have not wholly followed me. Say, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Let us pray. Brother Ted, would you have the blessing on the service tonight?
Dear Lord, he is there to follow the Lord.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Lord,
for the calling.
Lord, thank you. Lord,
yes,
Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes, God. Help us. Amen. Good to see all of you back tonight. We pray for all our visitors we saw today. God sent them in, that y'all would help them in their journey in serving the Lord. Amen. It's always good to see your faithful faces. Amen. The Bible said about these men and these children of Israel, and about Caleb and Joshua here. Now, Caleb and Joshua was different than the others. The Bible made the distinctive mark that they wholly followed the Lord. Wholly followed the Lord. Look at this in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua. Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. That'd be a good saying if the Lord could ever look at us and say, hey, they wholly followed me. Now that'd be a remarkable remark. And if Caleb and Joshua could wholly follow the Lord, I believe that proves that it's an attainable feat. It can be done. It can be done. If it could be done in these two Old Testament characters, where in the Old Testament sense that the Spirit of God would come upon a man and leave him and come upon him and leave him, and the fact that in the New Testament that we're sealed by the Spirit of God, it don't come upon us and leave us, it abides forever. If these men could do it under that situation, surely we can do it where we're at. Amen. We can wholly follow the Lord. Look at Joshua chapter 14 and verse 7. The Bible says this, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Now, Caleb is recounting the account of when he was sent out by Moses. He said, I was 40 years old. At the age of 40, he sent me out to spy out the land, and I came back and brought word again that all was in my heart. What was in his heart? That, hey, God give us this land and we can get it. We can take it, amen. Now, he saw the giants, he saw the men that were there, he saw the cities, but he saw God bigger than those giants and bigger than those cities. And at the age of 40, he said, it was in my heart to go take this thing and we can do it. Of course, they rebelled against it and went the other way and wandered in the wilderness. Bible said in verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. He said, but listen, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. Now, it was God that said, go get the land. If God said, go get it, it can be God. Amen. But the people, instead of trusting God and going out by faith, backed up because of the circumstances. And I'm telling you, it's real easy when you see how rough it gets to back up. But it ain't right. And it ain't going to be easy to your spirit, because the Spirit of God is going to say go, and the Spirit of God wants you to be out there. And if you back up on God, it is a miserable life for a Christian to back up on God. Now, we think it's the easy way out, but it was a miserable life wandering in the wilderness for 40 years till all of them died off. And they buried their loved ones in their disobedience, and every day they walked around that wilderness, they thought about, we could have been over there if we'd just listened to God. It ain't as easy as you think it is backing up. It's better to go forward. And Caleb went wholly after the Lord. Bible said in verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou, look what Moses said, hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now God said he wholly followed the Lord. Caleb himself said he wholly followed the Lord, and Moses said he wholly followed the Lord. Now that's a good standing right there, amen. He wholly followed the Lord. He said, because he did, that land's going to be yours. Now it took 45 more years for him to get it, but he got the land that God promised him. And if God makes a promise, God's going to keep it. God's going to keep it. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. A score is 20, so that makes him 85 years old. Look what he says in verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. 45 years later, amen, 85 years of age, he said, I'm just as strong as I was the day I went out and spied the land out. I'm ready, amen. Caleb was the guy that set his sights up high. Caleb was the guy that trusted the Lord, amen. Like, that's the kind of spirit we need in our lives. The people that'll wholly follow the Lord, they set their goals up high. They dream high, man. Dream for the lights, amen. What God will do with your life if you'll trust Him. There's nothing wrong with dreaming.
Amen.
God help me, I'm going to preach on that, amen, about dreaming. Hey, Joseph was a dreamer. Hey, you need to dream, amen, what God can do with your life if you'll trust Him and follow Him. Hey, we need some children of God with some dreams that are following God. I'm not talking about some mystical thing, the charismatic movement. I'm talking about a vision, a dream that, hey, God will use me and God will do something with me because God wants to, amen. Dream high, child of God. Hey, look for the lights of what God can do in your life if you'll just trust Him. We need some people like that, amen. Don't leave them sitting around thinking, well, my life's going to be miserable. I'm never going to be anything. Hey, he said, man, I'm going to get the mountain. I want that mountain. And he said, you're going to get it, brother. He set his sights on it. He looked up high on what God can do, not what he can do. He looked on what his God can do, just as what Joseph did, what his God said he could do. And if you'll trust what God said, things can get done. Amen. He wholly followed him. He said in verse 11 again, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now, them giants are still in the land. The cities are still there. The walls are still up. And he come up to that place and he said, you know what? I'm ready to obtain my mountain. I'm ready to go get my land. At 45 years later, at the age of 85, he said, God ain't done with me. And I still got some things I want to do. Listen, if you still got breath in your lungs and you do sitting in here, amen, I don't see anybody leaning over and we having to call an ambulance in here, God can still use your life. There's no age that you're too old where you can't do nothing for God. God uses all that are willing to be used, amen, no matter what the age is. He said in verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh,
Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became gained the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephune, the Kenizzite, unto this day, listen to this, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And I was thinking about that thought, and I thought about this. I wonder how many of us wholly follow the Lord. Do I wholly follow the Lord? And so the Lord gave me this thought on wholly following the Lord in the New Testament sense. And I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. And I want to preach on this thought. Are you wholly following the Lord? Caleb did. And if Caleb did, we can. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's see if this will make some sense to you. I believe what a lot of Christians do is they halfway serve God. Now, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He wasn't half-hearted. Do you know the other 10 spies that went out with Caleb and Joshua, they were the types of halfway Christians. They were the children of God just like Joshua and Caleb was. But they were the ones that halfway went with God, wouldn't go all the way out with God, maybe because of fear, maybe because of circumstances, maybe because of they thought their inabilities. And what it all boiled down to was they had a lack of faith in their God. And I don't care what your abilities are or your disabilities are, it ain't about us, it's about the God we serve. And we need to put faith in God, that God should do some great things with us if we'll wholly give ourselves to Him. The problem is the majority halfway serve, while the minority wholly follows. Do you wholly follow? Look at this thing. Ephesians 4, look at verse 14. Let's do a little reading. Are you halfway or wholly serving God? Halfway or wholly? I believe it'll make some sense. Look at verse 14. The Bible says that we, talking to the child of God, henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And we shouldn't be tossed to and fro. We shouldn't be so easily blown around. You know, in one day and out the next day. You get a lot of Christians like that. And pastor, you look over and it breaks your heart to see them like that, and all you want is the best out of them. But they'll come in and serve God for a little while, and then they'll blow out and be out for a little while. And then they'll blow back in for a little while, and then they'll blow out for a little while. That's a miserable life. You don't have to be so easily blown around, amen. You ought to have some stability about your life. The winds of this world, the winds of the devil, or whatever winds might come, the winds of time, the winds of change, all these winds ought not to blow us around. We ought to have some stability about us. And he said in Ephesians chapter number 4, that we'll make a stand and stand therefore, amen. He's so easily blown around. But he said in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So growth can produce some stability. Verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now, I look at this thing, you look at it in the context, he said we shouldn't be tossed to and fro. But if we'll grow in verse 15, it'll keep us from being tossed to and fro. Kind of like, you know, children of God represented in the Psalms as trees, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that tree is young and tender, it's easily blown, you know. But the more that thing grows and the more it's nourished with the water, the Word, if you will, and the Spirit of God, the more that tree, that Christian, will grow, and the more it grows, the stronger it becomes. Amen. And the more strength it has, the more it can withstand the wind. So there's a growth process. But then he says in verse 16, he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So when he talks about the body being fitly joined together, now all the children of God getting together. So growth will produce, help you from being blown to and fro, but getting with the people of God, getting in your place, it'll produce some stability and growth, and stability, if you will, in your life. Get with the people of God. Get with the children of God. Hey, I take a tree and put it out there in the wind. It's real young. It's blown that way. And you get a tree and you plant it in the ground. You tie some ropes on that thing, you know, try to let it get strong. And when it gets strong enough, you cut the ropes off of it. The wind can blow because it can stand on its own. But if you take that one tree and plant about 50 trees around it, it's going to block some of the wind coming off of it. You get them around 75, amen, it's going to block a little more wind on them. Hey, you get with the people of God, when the devil blows, it's harder to get to you. I'm telling you, to be good to get with God's people, amen. That's what he wants. You're easy prey to the devil outside the flock. Get compacted together. Get with the people of God. God puts you in the body that you'd be joined with them. You say that, people say, you know, people get that kind of attitude, well, I ain't got to go to church to serve God. I ain't got to go to church to be saved. No, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Amen. But if you get saved, there'll be a desire that you want to go to church. And if you go to church, you're going to grow. You can get with the people of God and get some help and the things you need, because that's what God's established. But people are so warped up by the winds of this world, you don't know where they're coming or going. The bottom line is they ain't wholly following God. They're not wholly following God. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. How do they walk? How do other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds? I'm telling you what, you start going with that mind, you're going to get in a mess.
Amen.
Your mind will warp you up.
Right.
I mean, that mind is something crazy, ain't it? Amen. That's why we're to renew our mind. That's why we're to wash our mind out in the Word of God and stay around the right things. Amen. That mind will get you thinking things that, I mean, it'll mess you up. You know what I'm talking about without having to explain anything?
Amen.
I mean, the devil would get up there in this place. Somebody said that the idle mind is the devil's workshop, you know? That's not a Bible. It's not a Bible verse, amen? You thought it was, amen? It's not in there. But it's a truth. Still a truth, nonetheless. An idle mind. You get that idle mind out there, you get the devil, he starts running around there like a rat in a cage, man, or one of them hamster things, you know? Get up in there and his spinners, or, and you start thinking all kind of things, and you making up stuff that ain't even there, and imagining things, and somebody's thinking this about me, and where they at, what's going on. It'll mess you up. Does your mind mess with you like that? It messes me up. I get worried about the people of God and the flock, and I mean, where they at, my mind's going over here, and I don't see them, what's going on here, and I'd be going crazy if it wasn't God. Sometimes I think I'm going crazy, amen. Amen. That mind. You let the devil get a hold of your mind. Having verse number 18, the understanding darkened. You get a dark understanding, you're a mess. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What happens? Who being past feeling, giving themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And you get out there and walk into the vanity of your mind, get in that dark world. I'm talking about as a child of God.
Amen.
You get out there, that world will eat you up.
Amen.
There's been many a child of God got ate up by the world.
Amen.
And it gets your mind messed up. Your mind will give you a reason to leave the flock.
Amen.
To get out there in that wind of that world, that will be blowing you all around. You'll know whether you're coming or going, man.
Amen.
And then your understanding get darkened, and you start doing things you never thought you'd have done.
Amen.
And you get out there doing it so long, amen, you'll be past feelings. You'll be so numb, nothing even bothers you. That's a bad case to get in.
Amen.
I'm talking about people of God. In the context here, he's speaking about people of God. Get out past feelings. You're numb to it. It don't bother you no more. You got no conviction. You seared your conscience, if you will. You're in a mess.
Yeah.
Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ.
That's right.
That sure ain't what he wants. If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Here's what he said to us now, so these things won't happen, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What God wants is for the old man to be put off. There's an old nature you tote around with you, and he's got to get gone. He's got to be put in his place. Amen. The only way the old man can be put off is, first of all, he got cut off. What do you mean cut off? I'm talking about Colossians 2. I'm talking about a new birth. I'm talking about spiritual circumcision. You can't put off the old man if he ain't first been cut off. That's what the world's trying to do, is they tried to put off the old man with never having cut off. And I'm talking about, let me just read that to you. Look in Colossians chapter number 2. Hold your place in Ephesians. We're going to preach right here, but look at it. Colossians 2. Look at verse 11. This is what happened when you got born again. You got saved by the grace of God. The Word of God, that sword of the Spirit, amen, cut off that old man, amen, from your soul. He spiritually circumcised you. Look at verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. It ain't something that you've done. It ain't something anybody can do. The Bible said it's without hand. Look at this. In the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of what? Christ. Jesus Christ spiritually circumcised you. When you got born into the family of God, there's more that took place than we could ever imagine.
Yeah,
but one of the things that took place is that old man got cut loose from that soul. And now my soul is no more attached to my soul. I'm no longer going to hell, amen. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption, by the circumcision of God. It was a work of God. It wasn't the work of my hand. It wasn't the work of a preacher's hand. It wasn't the work of my daddy's hand. It was the work of God that spiritually circumcised you when you got saved. Now that's eternal security.
Amen.
That's biblical salvation. You can't get it. God's got to do the cut. Nothing you've done to save yourself. Amen. He said in verses number 12, buried with him in baptism. That's when you're baptized into the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the, look, operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You know what he did? He cut off that old man and sealed you by the Spirit of God and made you a new creature. Now that he's cut that old man loose, you can put him off.
Yeah.
You know what I've done before I got saved? Whatever my flesh wanted to do. He ruled my life. Amen. He ruled my desires. He ruled everything about me. I've tried to turn over a new leaf. You've been there. Tried to make it better. But every time I'd go right back to the same stinking place. If I did quit something, it's because I picked up something in its place. But the day God saved my soul and cut me loose, he gave me a power inside me that now I can lay him to the side and say, you're not ruling my life no more. I can yield to the Spirit of God. I can stop yielding to the flesh. I can live a victorious Christian life. I can put off the old man. He don't have to rule me anymore. He don't have to rule you. You can put him off. But if you've never been born again, you ain't gonna never put him off. I don't care what kind of efforts you make, amen. Look back in Ephesians 4. Let me just clear that up right quick, amen. Hope that clears it up for you. The old man, to be put off, must be first cut loose. And now that he is cut loose, you can put him off, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And not only can you put him off, you can put something on. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that lines up with Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And that starts talking about put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the ability to make no provision for the flesh. You with me? Now, Caleb, holy father of the Lord. Now, what's that got to do with us, holy father of the Lord? Are you halfway following him or whole following? Now, God showed me this thing, and I want to show it to you. I think there's like 5 points just within this passage here about putting off the old man and putting on the new. And it's a picture to me as a halfway service compared to a whole service. Let's look at it. Look at verse 25. Look at number 1. The Bible says in verse 25, wherefore put away lying. Now, putting away lying is a good thing. There's a lot of people that lie.
Amen.
Lying needs to be put off. Did you know that lying is only halfway, putting off lying is only halfway service? That ain't a whole service. I'm showing you just a minute. But you need to put off lying. That's half the battle. That's the start. Amen. Now, the devil is the father of lies. So if you lie and you act like the devil, amen. Hey, did you know the original sin started with a lie?
Amen.
God, you shall not surely die. You know what the devil did? He told a lie. And back then she took bait and lie in her mind, amen. And she played around with that lie in her mind. And she bit on that lie and ruined her life. And her husband husband followed suit.
Amen.
The devil's been doing the same thing ever since. Throwing lies at people to get them to do wrong. Bible says put away lying. Lying will cause you to do wrong. Lying will mess you up. You know lying hurts more than just yourself.
Amen.
You lie, it's going to hurt somebody.
Amen.
I mean, you tell a lie, it ain't just going to hurt you, it's going to hurt somebody else. And most of the time it hurts more than just one.
Amen.
Lies are dangerous and you ought not to be a liar.
Amen.
Lying is a sin.
Amen.
Hey, put off lying.
Amen.
Did you know that's only halfway of half the Bible? You know what some of you have said? You know, I don't lie.
Right.
You know, let me tell you something. That don't make you wholly follow the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
That's just half of Christianity. You know, a lot of Christians have decided, you know what? I ain't going to tell them lies.
Yeah. Amen.
And all because you don't tell lies and you know others to tell lies, you think you're wholly following the Lord, but you're not.
Right.
To wholly follow the Lord is not only to put away a lie, but look in verse 25 again. He says, wherefore put away lying, comma, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. To wholly follow the Lord, you must not only put away lying, but on the other side, you must speak truth. Put away lying is put off the old man. If you put off the old man, that's just halfway serving God. If you're going to wholly serve God, you got to put on Jesus Christ. And if you put on Jesus Christ, and if you put off lying when you put off the old man, you hung him up in the closet, but you didn't put on Jesus, there's going to be a void, a vacuum in your life, and you're going to go right back to it. And that's what a lot of people want to do when they go to an altar. They said, I'm sorry for lying, God. I never lie again. And you go confess that thing to God, but you never put on the new man and go out and speak truth. There's a vacuum in your life, and most of the time that vacuum goes back to the lie. And you wind up doing the same thing over and over again. And you find yourself in a cycle, repenting over lying, and repenting over lying, and lying, and then repenting over lying, and then lying, and then repenting over lying. Hey, that's just halfway service and putting off the lie. A holy child of God not only stops lying, on the other side, he speaks truth. Now, what is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? So Jesus is truth, right? But the Bible says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is what?
Truth.
Amen. Hey, if I'm going to wholly follow the Lord, I need to quit lying and start telling the truth. What? Tell somebody how to get saved. Tell somebody about the word of God. Hey, go out and speak and use that mouth to edify the world through Jesus Christ and his word. And a lot of Christians are just halfway serving God. You got saved. You got that old man cut off. You put off your lies. But you've never opened your mouth to Jesus.
Amen.
You don't never tell nobody how to get saved.
Come on.
You don't never hand out a gospel tract. We got stacks of John and Romans. You never gave your personal testimony to anybody. You know what you're doing? You're just like the other 10, amen. You're just halfway serving God, and there's no victory in a halfway service. The only ones that get the promises and get the blessings of God are those that wholly follow the Lord.
Amen.
Not commend you for not lying. That's a good. That's good. You ought not to lie. Some of you ain't even got past that point. Amen. And I don't want to back up and rehash that thing, but some of you are still in the lying stage. Amen. Hey, but some of you have decided, I'm not going to lie. I know people that lie, but you know what? You don't speak the truth. And if you don't speak the truth, you're just halfway serving God. You got half the Bible. The whole Bible is not only not speaking a lie, but it's speaking the truth. When's the last time you told somebody about the Word of God? When's the last time you got around somebody and said, let me show you what God showed me in the Word of God? Speaking the truth.
Amen.
You know? When's the last time you went about somebody that didn't know God and tried to tell them how to be born again? Are you wholly following the Lord? I don't lie, preacher. You're halfway following. The holy following is not only to put off lying, but to put on and speak the truth. That's all. Let me show you another. This works. I think it works.
Amen.
Look at verse number 26. Be ye angry. Sin not. Now half of it is be ye angry. I don't think anybody in here probably not halfway already serving God on that one. Amen. It's a joke, amen. But that ain't what he's talking about. Be ye angry and sin not. You know there'll be some things that'll make you angry?
Amen.
It'll make you angry. You know what? You know, we ought to be upset about our nation passing laws that are contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
That ought to make us mad. You know what? You ought to be upset about that. You ought to be upset about a nation wanting to pass laws contrary to the God that you serve and try to tell you what you cannot do for God. And you ought to be upset that they would pass sodomite laws and light the White House up with rainbow flowers, but on the 4th of July, won't light them up in the red, white, and blue.
Amen.
I don't know if they didn't do that, but they probably did. That would have made you mad.
Yeah.
They didn't care more much about a sodomite than someone had served our country to fight on the fields, amen, and give us liberty to have the things that we got.
Amen.
By the way, thank God for you that have served in our service here.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, that ought to make us mad.
Amen.
You ought to be upset about it, amen. Be angry.
Yeah.
Half the battle is being angry, getting upset about some things. Be angry about sodomy. Go be angry about abortion.
Right.
You're going to be angry about the killing and stealing and dope. You're going to get upset about drug heads pushing pills around your youngins at school and trying to get them to do wrong.
Yeah.
You're going to get upset about that stuff.
Right.
You're going to get upset about Hollywood pushing all that pornography all in your face all the time.
Amen.
We ought to be upset about it. Be ye angry.
Right.
That's half of it. You're going to wholly follow the Lord and sin not.
Right.
How you do that? Well, don't go blow the buildings up. I mean, you ought to be upset about it, but it ought to upset you enough that you do something right about it.
Right.
Jesus got upset and got angry and turned the tables over in the house of God and said, hey, you know what he done? He wanted to make a statement that this my Father's house is a house of prayer and you made it a den of thieves. He done it to make a statement spiritually. He didn't do it to show his own glory and to make a scene for himself. He done it to glorify the Father. Get upset for God's sake and do something glorious. Be ye angry and sin not. A lot of you upset about what's going on. But how many of you doing something about it? I mean, half a Christian will get mad. I mean, if you can't even get mad about it, you ain't even half a Christian. But the holy Father of the Lord is not only to get mad about it, but to do something about it. I mean, you don't think it upset Caleb and Joshua that them all the spies come out with lies? What did they do about it? They gave it to God. That's what they did. They didn't stay keeping an attitude with those other spies. They done wrong. They gave it to God and said, hey, one day God's going to give me that mind. I'm trusting God to do something about it. Be angry and sin not. Half the battle is getting angry. Get angry at sin. Get angry at Satan. Hey, get angry at yourself. You ever get mad at yourself? Why in the world would you do that? Paul said, when I would do good, I did it not. You know, back and forth over there in Rome and said, get angry at yourself sometimes. Most of the time, most of the problem we got is right here. It ain't the devil or anybody else. It's ourselves. Our own minds working that thing up, making more out of it than what it is. Calm down, slow down. It ain't what you're making it out to be. Mad about it. He says, I'm preaching, women are worse about it. Amen. They're emotional. I'm not saying that bad about women, but they are. Y'all know y'all are emotional.
Yeah.
And y'all just fly off the handle real quick.
Yeah.
And you'll get angry real quick. Yeah. But you'll sin with it too.
Right.
And that don't mean we don't get angry and sin with it too. We do.
Right.
But I'm telling you, that woman, she's wound tight, amen.
Right.
Can I get a witness, ladies? Amen. Yeah. I'll tell the truth, amen. It makes you free.
Yeah.
Women are like that.
Right.
And that's why she needs a husband. Hey, she, calm down, honey. Calm down. And then when we do it, I need a wife to say, calm down.
Yeah.
We have to do it at the house a lot. I just have to do it more.
Yeah.
But I need to calm down, so
yeah.
I can get real angry, amen. You won't like me when I get mad.
Yeah.
Like the Incredible Hulk, I turn green, amen.
Yeah.
Are you wholly following the Lord? No, but then we get angry. And then when we do get angry, do we do it without sinning? Hey, when you get angry the right way, do you do it without cussing? Be angry and sin? No, it's a sin to cuss.
Yeah.
I have got angry as a Christian and cussed. And I ain't proud about that at all. You know what I mean? And you say something.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all take your halos off, amen.
Amen.
I'm not upset.
Amen.
You know what, Timmy? It still haunts me to this day. I remember, you might not even remember, amen. I ought not to remind you, then you throw up my face. But I remember when Timmy got saved, he was a young Christian. I didn't know if he was saved, but you bought that splash truck, was you saved?
Yeah.
He was saved, young Christian. And he went over there and he bought that little yellow splash truck. What am I doing with a yellow truck anyhow? He can't be saved. He wasn't saved. A yellow truck. But he went out and bought that truck, and I went over and co-signed for my brother. And I said, and I told him, and I tried to be stern with him, you know, and he knew I was a Christian serving God, and I cussed. I said a little cuss word. Yeah, it ain't little, they bad, all of them bad. You don't remember, do you? You remember? I think you're supposed to forget that stuff, huh? But I said something to him, it was just one little cuss word, kind of be stern, let him know, you better pay your bill, you know, I put my name on it. I felt like dirt about that thing. And I still think about it today. I still remember that day. There's two times I know I got mad and cussed. And that time, and there's more than two. Two I know of. Two that comes to my mind. Y'all call them that. I'm doing the preaching. I've done it. I'm telling you, that's being angry, and that's sin. That's sin. That's sin. I was gonna tell you the other one, but it might strike like it again. You go back to me. The other one was, I'm gonna tell you anyhow, because you need to hear it. The other one was, I was riding to work with me and my cousin was carpooling, and he's lost. He's lost. It's dangerous to hang around lost people.
Amen.
And I could witness to him. I witnessed that boy every day. Every day. He knew I lived for God. And he knew I told him about the Lord. And we was riding to work one day. And somebody ran out in front of us. And he said something. And this is how easily evil communication corrupts good manners.
Right.
My intention was to ride with him, save the gas, tell him about God. It worked out, you know, and all that stuff. But that evil communication will get you. You get around the wrong people, you pick up things.
Amen.
And he said a certain thing, and before I ever thought, I said something.
Right.
And man, I wanted to jump out the truck. I didn't even think, it just happened.
Yeah.
That evil communication corrupt good man. And I had to apologize to him and say, man, he knew, man. I mean, I felt like dirt, man, for a long time. But I'm telling you, that stuff happens. To be angry and sin not. How do you do that? How do you balance? How do you wholly follow the Lord? Well, get upset about the right thing, but don't go cussing and pitching a fit.
Amen. Yeah.
That is sin. When you go to pitch a fit and get in a frenzy and get out of your mind and say things that you had to come back later on and say, I'm sorry, I should have never said that. That's getting angry and sin.
Amen.
Get upset about things. Get upset about your youngest not doing right. You ought to get mad about it. Get upset about somebody doing them wrong, you know. Get upset about the devil tripping them up. Get mad about it. But hey, people have a temperance about you and a balance about you and sin not about it, amen. Holy follow the Lord, amen. That's what you ought to do. Now, are you holy following God? Don't get in a cussing fit and pitching a fit about it, amen. You know, be angry and sin not.
Amen.
Look what he says in the rest of that verse, in verse 25. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know that ulcers and a loss of sleep come from grudges? Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. You never get over it. You let the sun go down on that wrath. And if you stay angry with them for a good 12 hours, it's going to be easy to stay angry with them for 24 hours. Then it'll be easier to stay angry with them for 36 hours and then 48 hours. And that thing just compounds and builds up and you build a grudge. That's not holy following the Lord. The child of God's not got no business holding grudges against people. Do you holy follow the Lord? Let me show you that. Before you go any further, it's like he injects this thing in him when I was looking at it. He gives two illustrations there, and then he says in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't let the devil get in it. If you let the devil get in it, he's going to take over. He'll take over. But number three, look at this. Look in verse 28. Are you holy following the Lord? Let him that stole what? That's halfway service. A half of a Christian, he gets saved, he'll put off stealing.
It's a sin still. A piece of gum, you know, a screw, a nail, you know, it's a sin still.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Some of you, I would probably say for the most part on this one, we probably got a lot of people don't steal. Don't steal. You know what? You put off stealing. You used to be a thief, used to do stuff like that, and crook people and going on. You don't do that no more. That's not Christian life. You would never steal. You'd never think about taking something that belonged to somebody else. I thought one of the things that makes somebody mad and get angry is a thief. I mean, somebody's come in and steal something that you work for and labor for and God, somebody take it from you, that'll make you mad. And a Christian, you know what he does? He don't steal. He don't steal. You know, but that's only halfway serving God. And some of you are proud about the fact that you don't steal. I don't do that. I know some thieves, but I don't steal. But do you wholly follow the Lord? You look at the rest of it. Look at this thing. You see how this thing works? Look at this, verse number 28. He says, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. On the other side of the thing is, if you're going to wholly follow the Lord, not only do you not steal, but you give to them that need. And you work so you can give to those that need. Now, we ain't got a lot of people wholly following the Lord now. There ain't a whole lot of people that work anymore. That just gets them all out of the boat right there, amen. People's got a problem with work. Because they think that you shouldn't have to work if you've got a job. And a job produces work. You ought to be a worker.
Amen.
And what he said over there in Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, somewhere over there, that if a man won't work, neither should he eat. Is that where it's at? You know, do you wholly follow the Lord? Well, preacher, I don't steal. That's half the service. The whole part of the thing is that you'll go get a job and you'll labor so you can give to those that need it. A missionary around the world. You give to missions. You give to tithes, things that are required of the Lord in the Word of God, you know. That you work so you can give and take care of things and help others in need, amen. Hey, that's a whole Christian.
Amen.
You got another half Christian. You don't steal, but you won't tithe neither. You won't steal, but you won't give to missions neither. Why not? I'm going to tell you why. Because you halfway follow God. Caleb wholly follow the Lord. And God's looking for some people that are wholly following God. And what we got is a bunch of halfway Christians. If you line up your life and you check the list off, there's only five of them in this part. There could be a lot more. But you just take these five and check them off and see if you line up on the half side or the whole side. Can you check both checks, a half and whole? Takes both to make a whole, amen. You can't just take one of them. Amen. Maybe some of you work and give and you steal. That's half. Amen. You gotta be able to check both boxes if you're gonna wholly follow the Lord. We're to labor. Amen. You know what you have to learn? You know what some of you might need to do? Let me just throw it out there in case you need to get a job.
Amen.
You need to work. Amen. I tell you people all the time, God showed me this thing not too long ago. There's two things God put in the Bible very, very early in the beginning before there was ever sin. Before there was ever sin. Check it out. He put two things in there, and one of them was work, and the other one was worship. He put Adam over there in that garden. He didn't dress it and keep it. That's a job. And to walk with God in the cool of the day, that is worship. And there's two things that God kept before sin, during sin, it's going to be here forever, that God established that you're supposed to do, and that's to work as long as you got breath in your lungs, and worship God as long as you got breath in your lungs. And it's a sorry individual that won't do those two things.
Amen.
You say, I'll work, but I ain't going to church and worshiping God, because that's my free time. You're a sorry individual. Well, I go to church and worship, but I won't work, you're sorry.
Amen.
Do you wholly follow the Lord? Holy. You say, preacher, you go get a job. Hey, I got one. I never, you doesn't believe I got one. Amen. And I ain't complaining. Thank God for money. But it is a job. Verse 29. Let me show you this one. Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mind. That's half the service. No corrupt communication. What is corrupt? Well, corrupt is something that's filthy, rude, rotten, obscene. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Oh, I don't tell dirty jokes. I hope you don't. You ought not to if you're saved. But that's only halfway service. Well, I'm not rude. You know, I'm not obscene. Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his whole soul from trouble." Half the Bible is no corrupt communication. Look at the rest of it in verse 29. "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." A whole Christian will not only not tell filthy jokes and not be rude and obscene in his gestures and his communication, but he'll use his tongue to edify and minister to people. He uses his tongue to help people. Do you do that? Well, you don't tell dirty jokes, but do you use your mouth to lift somebody up? Do you use your mouth to edify somebody? Like through teaching or encouragement or one-on-one conversations with someone? Do you sit down and use your mouth to help somebody? That's a whole Christian. You know what the problem is? On this one right here, you probably ain't halfway. Because people are rude with their minds. And they got bad attitudes.
Right.
And they're ill all the time.
Yeah.
That's wrong. That's not right. That's not Christ-like. If you're going to get mad about something, get mad about something that's holy and righteous.
Amen.
You're getting mad about foolish things. And you show yourself a fit when you do it, amen. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Don't let no filthiness come out of your mouth. Don't come into church and act real good and go home and cuss anybody.
Amen.
That's filthy. That's rotten. That's not godly. That's not holy following the Lord. You're holy following, you're going to have no corrupt communication, but you're going to use that mouth to edify and minister. Help someone else. Then he injects this one in verse 30 like he did verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Look at verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption." He's going through this list and he's showing something you shouldn't do and something you should do. Then he says, don't give place to the devil in it. You give him some place, he'll mess your life up. Then he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. How are you going to get these things done in your life? Is you're going to have to kick the devil out of it and be led and filled with the Spirit of God. That's how you're going to wholly follow God. Because the devil's going to try to get in every chance he gets if you try to wholly follow God. You make a commitment, I'm going to follow God, and the devil will light your candle. You need to fill it with the Spirit. Let me give you a statement. Verse 31. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You know what he says in verse 31? Put it away. Put away your bitterness. That's what a child of God, if he's going to wholly follow God, he's got to put away bitterness. Maybe somebody in here tonight, you're bitter about something. What somebody done to you, or something you think somebody done to you. You need to get that bitterness behind. You need to maybe go to that person and get it right and get it over with, man. You need to put away bitterness.
Amen.
You need to put away wrath. It's got you so mad and bitter, you're angry and want to hurt somebody about it, amen. Put away that anger that's building up in you and that clamor and that evil speaking. You're running your mouth because of the way somebody done it. Put it away from it. With all malice. I mean, do it with some intention in behind it. Like, get this mess out of my life. I'm tired of it.
Amen.
Now, if you do that, that's half the way. That's halfway. You go to that person and deal with them, you know, and get away. I told them about it. I told them how I felt. You know. I went to them and confronted them about it. Yeah, but how did you do it? Well, my hands are clear with it. They didn't receive it. Or really, I didn't really care if they did receive it, but I told them that that's what I was supposed to do. That ain't right. That ain't even halfway serving. You know how to wholly do it, though? Look at the other side in verse 32. Put all this stuff away from you in verse 31, and be ye kind, verse 32, one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. How? Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Forgive them. Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. You know, sometimes Christians do stuff to you, they don't even realize what they do. Sometimes they don't realize what they do. But you know what we're supposed to do? Forgive them. If you're going to wholly follow the Lord, you're going to have a forgiving spirit. You're going to have to let things go. Let it go. Yeah, things bother my mind and when it comes to the service of God and the people of God and trying to keep a watch over souls, that stuff, it gets me. That's where my mind's at. But when it comes to somebody doing me wrong, and somebody doing something and messing up and having to come talk to me about it, for the most part, I'm serious. It's a heart attack. When you tell me, I'm done with it. As far as I'm concerned, it's like it never happened. And God's given me that to help me do that, and I pray that He helps me keep doing that. But it don't bother me. I let it go. Somebody does something wrong, they come tell me, it's like ward off the ducks back to me. You can let the devil play with your mind. As far as I'm concerned, all you want to, he's playing with your mind. It don't bother me. I mean, God's helped me with that. And to be able to forgive him and let it go. I think it's a quality that I need as a pastor, and God gave it to me, and I kept the mustard in myself. But I let it go. Preacher, all right, man. If God gave you, God forgave you about it, I'm good with it. If we're going to wholly follow the Lord, we got to have a forgiving spirit.
Amen.
You got to be able to let things go. You got to let God give you, to help you do it sometimes, and ask Him to give you the strength to do it. Forgive them. Forgive them. Caleb, wholly follow the Lord. Now, there's five examples right there where we can halfway, or maybe not even halfway, or we can hold it. Follow the Lord. How is it? Do you put away all this clamor and wrath and evil speaking? Are you tender-hearted, forgiving one another? Or are you like that? We got that example over there with the Good Samaritan over there with that kind of picture right here at the end of this thing. And that one guy looked at him and saw he was in bad shape and passed on by. And then that other guy came over there and put him, hey, you look real bad. And talked to him a little bit, and then he passed on by. And that old Good Samaritan, he went right where he was, got down there in his little mess, got down there with his sting, wrapped his arms around him, loved on him, and picked him up, put him on his ass, carried him to the end, paid his way, helping someone. That's holy following God. You know what the problem is? Sometimes we get so hard-hearted in this whole world, we don't have time for anybody else. They deserve what they get. And you know what? I deserve what I get. You know what? I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be left by myself since I've been saved. But you know what? God still loved me, and people of God have still pushed me on and helped me go forward. You know what? That's the kind of spirit we need. Love on people, man. Get some compassion in your heart. And consider yourself lest you also be tempted. Put it away and show some compassion and love and help somebody. Or you wholly follow the Lord. Holy. That's what we ought to do. Holy follow God. Let's all stand and sing tonight. Let's sing.